So, of course, we've come to the end now of this series where we've been looking at what it means to walk as a community, as a family here, towards Jesus, what it means to walk together towards Him. We've looked at all sorts, haven't we? Discipleship, loving one another, encouraging, including people. That hard one, forgiveness, that was a hard week, wasn't it? And today, I want to just sort of sum up why we might have been looking at those things. Because we spent a lot of time in the last time looking internally. And then, of course, we have the freedom today. So today I want to look at why we would do those things. And I think we would do those things primarily because it's God's will to live that way together. But also, it makes us attractive, doesn't it? It's attractive to see a group of people who walk together, loving one another, encouraging one another, including others, and forgiving one another when we make mistakes. That's attractive to other people, isn't it? You know, at the end of our communion service, I or someone like me will stand up here and say something like, "Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord." And of course, you guys reply, "In the name of Christ." So you can't help but say it because you're so used to saying it. But I wonder, do we understand what's in there? Because what we're saying then is, we are a community who go together as well. We're a community who live together, who work together, who love one another, who encourage one another, but then we go in the name of Christ. As that passage said, to share the love with others. And a little while back, I was listening to a chap called Andy Stanley explain what he felt the significance of communion was. And he was very much relating it to the Passover meal. The Passover meal, some people suggest, not everyone agrees on this, but the Passover meal, some people suggest, is the meal that Jesus and his disciples were having on that last supper in the upper room. And the truth is, although the words that we use in our communion service come from that, I'm not sure, as people who aren't Jewish, as Gentiles as we are, that we can truly understand the significance of what that meal means to that nation. It's all about a journey for them. It symbolizes the whole life of Israel and the history of Israel from Egypt and the terrible pain they had there, out of there as they were rescued by God, forward. But you can imagine the disciples and Jesus in that upper room. Good Jewish boys they would have been. We forget that the disciples were Jewish. Jesus himself. Good Jewish boys sharing the Passover together. Massively important time of year. And then Jesus, before they eat, he stands up. And he says, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Jesus has just taken 1,500 years of tradition and wiped it away. I don't think that the Jewish boys in the room would have known what he was doing. And we tend to think of Jesus standing up there and saying, "This is my body," don't we? You would have had to do it that way, couldn't you? "This is my body." That's how we, in our English culture, think of Jesus doing it. But actually, he was possibly taking the natto wafer to use for the Passover. Possibly taking it and saying, "This is my body." At the beginning of the Passover meal, you get given three small versions of that wafer. And as you, if you've ever attended a Passover meal, as you journey through, you eat them at different times. But before you start eating, you take one and break it to symbolize the brokenness out of Egypt. The fact that the Jews were rescued in their brokenness by a God who loved them and said, "If you do this, you can be my people." I don't think we can truly understand it. And then Jesus stands up and says, "This is my body." The Jewish boys would have, they would have not been sure whether to stay or leave. What's he saying? Is he saying we no longer go to God through the law? We no longer go to God through following those rules? Is he saying he is the way, the Father God? And as if to read their minds, he stands up at the end and he says, with the wine in his hand, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant." The Jews had a promise and a covenant with God. If you do this, I will do that for you. And then Jesus says, "No, now I will do this for you. I will do this for you. You are loved. You can come to the Father. I will go to the cross for you," as he does in a few days' time. "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by their hands and lead them out of Egypt. This is the covenant I will make. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people." The words of Jeremiah, some of you might recognize, hundreds of years before, saying that Jesus is coming. There will be a new covenant, a new promise for all. And the meal that we reenact every time I stand up there, somewhat pompously, I feel sometimes, but that meal we reenact is a recognition that he has done that. Jesus has brought a new covenant with us, a promise. He promises us forgiveness. Jesus, who was there at the beginning with the Father and the Spirit as the world and the universe was created. Jesus, who had the power to do that, who came to the earth because he loves you and I so much. That's the Jesus we're talking about. Jesus, who has the power to heal the sick, who loves us so much he goes to the cross, and who had the power and has the power to rise again, to have us rise again. I just want to walk us through that, because there's a significance in understanding what we do when we come together in communion now, but also when we come together to celebrate communion. It helps us to understand that it's not just da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. There is massive history, massive significance behind it. A new promise, a new covenant with us. Of course, a promise and a covenant is two-sided. Our response is that reading, isn't it? Our response is to therefore go. We spend so much time this term preparing to love one another, to forgive one another, to encourage one another. But we do it because God would have us do it, and also it's attractive, so we can now go. And we're going to continue looking at what church means over the next term as we look at Revelation and the churches in there. So we can go. The idea is that Jesus isn't just here in this 1 hour, he's out there with you in the hub of 167 hours. "We proclaim concerning the word of life," says 1 John. We go because this is the best thing we know. There isn't anything better than Jesus. And if we don't tell people, I just find this weird, this is the best thing we've got. It is. There is nothing better than Jesus. Why would you come here on a Sunday if you didn't believe that? And yet, we're somewhat, and I count myself in this, we're somewhat reticent to share that with people. Now, surely, if it's the best thing in the world and they need to know Jesus, then actually not sharing it with them is really selfish, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And yet, I go through the same mental gymnastics that you go through. And so we go. And so we all stand up and we all go to the traffic lights and we start preaching and waving our banners. No, we don't do that, do we? That would be slightly odd. I mean, there is a time and a place for that, isn't there? There is a time and a place for that. Yeah. But for most of us, no. The gift that you've been given and I've been given might be different. That's what we're going to discover, isn't it? You just go as you are, don't you? I went yesterday with the boys and girls of Sixth Army Air Corps as their heart rate, and I just shared Jesus in a simple way. As they asked questions, I just talked to them, yeah, you know. I haven't got a clue about that either. That's really hard, isn't it? Yeah, why did you do that? Or we go, and then this afternoon where Susan and I are off to a family barbecue. We probably won't mention the word Jesus, but they all know we're Christians. They all know we follow Jesus. The way we act is just a reflection of Him. And so as we go to this barbecue, we don't want to go to. It's the wider family, it's one of those. But we'll go, because it's an opportunity to share the love of Jesus with people who do not yet know Him. And for me, that is the big idea. You're all happy when you hear me say the words of the big idea, aren't you? Because you know it's coming to an end, isn't it? But it is the big idea, because actually this is our Egypt. See, the Jews came out of Egypt, but we've come out of brokenness, out of unforgiveness. Jesus died on the cross, and we said, yes, I'll follow you, Lord. That's our Egypt. We've come out of Egypt. We've come to our covenant. Jesus loves us. Whatever we do, He loves us beyond measure. And now our response in that covenant is to go. That's what we do. And so you go. But even as I'm speaking, I know some of you have doubts. It's like taking you, Max, with this ridiculous bit of plastic for a minute. Not me, Max. Pick someone else, sort of thing, isn't it? 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go, and when they saw Him, they worshipped Him, just like we have. But when the preacher got up and preached, some doubted. No, it doesn't say that, but it does say some doubted. 11 disciples, upon which this church was built, upon people who had doubts about their ability to share the love of Jesus. It's because we go in the power of the Holy Spirit, that gentle nudging Holy Spirit. Not in the power of the rector, not in the power of the church, not in your power, but in the power of the Holy Spirit, just as the disciples said. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. So we go in that authority, not our own. It's that simple. That is entirely why we have spent so much time on looking at what it means to be a community together. So that we can now go in the power of the Holy Spirit and the name of Jesus to make disciples. You know, when I was called to ordination, I felt that I was called because I was called to walk with people who had gone towards Him. I saw... I saw people go to church day in or week in, week out, every week, and yet not seem to have the joy of Jesus in them. And that's not to say we don't have ups and downs. Of course we have ups and downs. But I saw people not seem to grasp the fact of what they had in their head. They were forgiven, they were saved, but they were not living that life to the full that we've all been promised. And I thought, I'm called to make them understand how much they are loved and to help them and me walk towards Jesus. And that's what I've discovered actually over the last 5 years, 45 years of being ordained, is actually it's not about me helping you walk towards Jesus. It's about the fact we're all ordained. We're all called to disciple one another. We're all called to encourage one another. We're all called to help others here walk towards Jesus. And the truth is, whether you like it or not, that's true. If I was to come to you tomorrow or to next week and say, I've got this young couple coming who I've been speaking to, and they're going to come to church, Mary and Dave, would you do me a favour and would you walk with them, model to them what it means to be a follower of Jesus? Would you do that for me and then help them discover what it means to walk together. I suspect most of you would say yes and then go, why the heck did he ask me? Because you've got those doubts that we've spoken about. The truth is, you're doing that anyway. There are people in this room who look at you as a model of what it is to be a follower of Jesus. And there are certainly people out there that look at you. Because you are all they know. The truth is, there are people whose part of their walk towards Jesus will be the part that you play a part in, that you interact with. And if you don't do that part, of course God can find someone else to do it. But they will have missed out on interacting with you as they walk towards Jesus. That's why we're called to go. And I see more gifts in this room than you could possibly imagine. Young people with energy and enthusiasm and life ahead of them. Older people with wisdom and energy and enthusiasm and life ahead of them. People with a desire to... I mean, how would Polly preach out this? She's incredible, isn't she? And other people with a desire to come alongside people. To pastor people, to care for them. There are so many gifts in this room that Jesus would say, go. I'm just repeating myself now. I've gone off script completely. But it's because the Holy Spirit, I believe, wants us to go. He doesn't want us to leave this Sunday club I've spoken of. And I really feel that awakening is happening. I see it in your eyes. So just to say, that covenant is real. It's here today. Jesus loves you. Whatever you do, he loves you beyond measure. And actually the response to that is for us to go with it. And my question to you, I guess, is, are you willing to play your part? Whatever that might be. Are you willing to do the work of praying and discovering what that part might be? However small or however big.